Paul Hoynes joins us at noon. John Schumann at 1 o'clock.
Good Lord, man. You need a hug.
Oh, no, I don't. Life is good.
You need a three-day weekend.
No, I spent the whole day yesterday outside. Both of us, two knuckleheads out of track yesterday.
Oh, good gravy.
What time did you get home last night?
I rolled in probably about 9. Well, no, about 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock I rolled in. Yeah, from where we were.
We went out and we went and grabbed something to eat. I don't know. I mean, I know that no one ever wants to hear about track. I love the sport because I never really was into it until
I love it at the Olympic level. Yeah. And then all the way down. It's just a great sport.
The thing I think that makes it great is that, like, there's really, like, how do you complain? There's really, I don't really see crazy fans at track.
You know why you were never crazy about it? Dan was never crazy about it?
Hmm.
Why I was never crazy about it? Hmm. Although I love it at the Olympic level? Because we have bodies built to play third base.
Throwers,
that's why.
Jeff.
Probably true.
Throwers.
That's why.
Bodies for throwers.
Yeah. I don't know. So I look at it and I just, one of those sports.
What position did you play in baseball?
Third.
What did I play?
Third.
Dan, what did you play in baseball?
Catcher, third base.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're right. But I just think the thing about it is it's you against the clock or you against nature.
Yeah.
And it's not, and like, it's one of the few sports where you don't see, like, yeah, there's rivalries and there's stuff like that, and you can kind of get angry with somebody or something, but it just doesn't happen that way. And it's like, you can't argue against the clock. It's just the clock is what the clock is, unless they started it at the wrong time, which I've seen happen before too, or you get a bad measure or, you know, something's not right. But I just, and the other thing is like, compared to all of the sports, because I mean, God knows I've sat at every different sport over the last 10, 15 years here. Like, parents are actually pretty level-headed. And, like, you see parents not only root for kids who are not only their kids, but they root for kids that are, you know, running for other schools or running for other teams because they want to see it. And, you know, I don't think there's anything cooler than someone who's about to do a high jump or a long jump, and then you start seeing the entire crowd start clapping in unison. And then they get ready to you know, try to lift somebody up. And it doesn't matter where they're from. That's the thing about it. I don't know. So, but anyway, we spent the whole night last night outside in the rain, and it was nasty. So a lot of those state district meets going on right now. So it was kind of fun to do that. All right. So Kevin Stefanski, again, was on the station this morning. And we already talked about a few of the things when it came to quarterback. But he also wanted to talk a little bit about draft position. And, you know, we all kind of sit here, and Jeff, you know, we do this, and I think part of it is you label players by where they've been drafted. It's just, it is a natural thing that happens, right?
It sticks with them their entire career.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
His entire career.
His entire career.
But for him, it's the fact that he was able to overcome sixth round pick
mm-hmm.
and to go on and win Super Bowls. So now you have a quarterback that was drafted in the third round, and then you have a quarterback who was drafted in the fifth round.
Right.
And, you know, does that matter? Does it matter? Like, to us on the outside, you're going to sit here and say, well, every team passed on Dylan Gabriel at least twice, and every team passed on Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, at least, what, four plus times. So, and that's the way you end up looking at them as they continue to play the game. He talked about that. Does it matter where they're picked?
I've been around so many players in this game that were late round draft picks or first round picks or weren't drafted. Once they walk in the building, you don't carry that with you. Nobody cares.
Is that true or not?
Once you're in there.
I was thinking
when he said that?
Huh.
I thought this. Think about, you know, your image of guys in OTAs and everything else. What do you have? You have guys wearing an orange helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys, you know, with a jersey number on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have their name on tape slapped across the front of the helmet in most cases.
Right.
So that the coaches know who this person is. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere are they identified by where they were acquired. It doesn't say draft second round. It doesn't say undrafted free agent. It doesn't say trade. It doesn't say anything. All it says is you're in an orange helmet with a jersey on and your name. And at that point, it doesn't matter, Andy. You're competing against the other guy over here. Who cares where anybody was drafted? And that's the beauty of this. Once you come in and go, look at Brock Purdy. You know, talk about a guy whose the odds were stacked against him. You know, he's going up against Trey Lance. who they traded first round picks to move up to number three to take. And then, you know, he's the last guy taken in the draft. Well, who performed better? Hmm. It didn't say on Trey Lance's helmet, third overall pick, we gave up first rounders to get him. It said Lance, it said Purdy. And Kyle Shanahan said, this guy's better. We're going to play him. And they did. And that's the same situation the Browns are dealing with and anybody else might be dealing with.
Yeah, I wonder if sometimes even just the fact that you're drafted versus unrestricted free agent, sometimes that, you know, there's also another stigma that goes with that. Here's where I think it matters.
Teams, I would think, Andy, would err on the side of giving the guy that they thoroughly scouted and drafted and invested something in, a draft pick. I would think that guy would get more looks. But if the other guy comes in and is really good, that's the bottom line. Really is.
But when you look at this, the Browns tend to, and I think they've kind of changed over the last 2 years. I really feel like there's been a little bit of a sway away from saying, okay, we have to hang on to our guys. And I think time is part of that too. You know, you want to get through draft classes, but you're still sitting on, like, you wonder, okay, David Bell's hurt, but, you know, David Bell still sitting around since 22 as a third rounder.
They moved on from Schwartz.
Yeah, but it's difficult. Like, they don't really want to do that, especially when you draft a kicker, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get that one. But that's okay.
So I think that the number that sits after your name for the round that you were drafted in is good for longevity. Is that a fair way to put it? You're going to get more of a shot. You're going to get more of a shot.
As long as you come in and you show glimpses of why they drafted you. If you come in and you stink, Andy, they gotta chalk it up to, well, we missed. We missed on that one. Done. We missed. I mean, you can't. Roster spots are too valuable to just leave them sitting there and put a guy on it who you don't think can play. You know, you missed. Raiders missed on Jamarcus Russell. And he didn't last very long. I mean, you get rid of these guys.
No, it's true. It's that 2014 draft that still haunts me left and right. And it's not so much Johnny Manziel. It was Justin Gilbert.
Well, sure, but he didn't last very long.
What did he end up? He ended up playing 35 games. He stayed in the league for 3 years.
Yeah, that's not very long for a guy you took that high.
How does that happen? And he only was here for two. Like, does that happen?
Which proves my point completely.
Because when you don't, and I think Justin Gilbert's a perfect example of this. When you don't go see a guy, you don't go talk to a guy, you don't do a boatload of research into him, and he shows up, and he doesn't own an alarm clock, and everything else that went into it, you start to see the flaws of the people who made the mistake of drafting him in the first place. And I think that's what we have to chalk Justin Gilbert up to, is that the people who were in charge at the time made a horrendous, unforgivable mistake, and they are no longer employed because of that mistake. And I think that's it. Like, it's almost like you're always going to have outliers to every single rule. I would take Justin Gilbert and throw that one in the outlier bin because the Browns messed that up almost as badly as Justin Gilbert messed that up.
It's true. It's true. That you look at that draft, man. How many years did that draft set this franchise back? I mean, the two single biggest mistakes in the last, decade, that draft. And tell me if I'm wrong, because you can think of something else. And Deshaun Watson. I mean, they're the two biggest mistakes that really the fans are still paying the price for.
Fans aren't paying the price.
Well, if you like winning there.
Well, that's a different story.
If you want to feel like you're getting value for your ticket. Although, what are you guaranteed? A seat and the opportunity to watch.
Correct.
You know, 11 guys.
You don't
guys
like what you see, don't buy a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the potential for fun.
Now we're talking.
I do want to play one more cut here, too, and we'll talk about a little bit more of this when we come back and what it might actually mean. Kevin also talked about, you know, you've got quarterbacks that transferred throughout college. So let's dip into that, and then we'll go to break here in a second. So
when you go somewhere new, you have to get to know your teammates. You got to get to rhythm up with the receivers. You have to be in a new environment and fit in. So all of that, I would say, has certainly prepared a guy like Dylan and any player that's been through a similar experience. I think that prepares you for walking into that locker room for the first time in the NFL.
There you go.
It is interesting, though, that we used to look at guys that would transfer from school to school in college and look down upon them and say, well, why wouldn't that guy work out there? And didn't he have, you know, didn't he, not school spirit, but didn't he want to be a part of that? And now all of a sudden he's at another school and you're like,
Kevin said, in chatting with the boys, he said, Joe Flacco mentioned that when he was at the combine, the first thing that every team asked him was, well, why did you transfer? Why that didn't work? And think about it now. Dylan Gabriel played for three schools. And Kevin said, well, you know, that's the way that goes now. We assume that everybody has transferred at least once.
Does that make a quarterback better? Because what he's saying is that it could be helpful in the NFL because you forced yourself into a new situation with all new teammates to give yourself the opportunity. I think that if you're an athlete and you're trying to play in college, you're just looking for anywhere where you can be on the field while the clock is rolling. I don't think it matters even what school you're at. And now you might have delusions of grandeur of being, you know, in that 0.001% that wants to pick a school because you know you're going to win a national championship or you're going to have the opportunity to do that. I get that, but that doesn't play out all the time. I'm curious what folks think about that. Has that changed? Like the way we look at these things. Also, I want to ask you a question about an underrated player in particular. And I'll bring that up in a second. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps 92.3 The Fan.